This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. It is not uncommon for family gatherings to bring turmoil, but we tend to give light treatment to the troubles that disturb family life.
Hey, you know what? I'll take his cluelessness over her sabotage any day of the week.
My what?
You heard me. You're sabotage. You're a saboteur. Saboteur!
I don't understand. I'm just trying to help you.
Well, a local theater company is taking sitcom drama many levels deeper and darker. Durham's Little Green Pig Theatrical Concern is staging a production of Celebration. It's an adaptation of a Danish film that grapples with a difficult family secret, and it all starts at the father's 60th birthday party. You can see Celebration at Shadowbox Theater in Durham this Thursday through the 20th through Saturday the 22nd at 8 o'clock. I'm joined now by the director of Celebration. Kevin Eward is here with us along with actress Lenore Field. Welcome to both of you. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Kevin, tell us about the storyline in Celebration.
Well, it follows the fine tradition of dysfunctional family drama. But the play, I think, I don't know whether it's because the story's Danish, but it starts a lot more like Hamlet, where there's a ghost from the past. In Hamlet, it's an actual ghost walking around. And in Celebration, it's this accusation of something that happened a long time ago in the past. And this accusation drops into the middle of this family party for the patriarch, and things go crazy after that.
And I think we're not giving too much away to say that it actually comes in the form of a toast. So it really sets up the kind of the sort of tension in the theater, in the play itself, that right. There is this comic sort of juxtaposition that happens all throughout. We're supposed to be having fun, and here's the bomb.
Right. It's a lovely moment because the eldest son who makes this toast and accusation says, "I've written two speeches, and you get to choose which one." And when the father chooses the speech he chooses, there's this lovely moment. And of course, if you know the story, you go, uh-oh, he chose the difficult speech. But yeah, it has that kind of comedic tension before the bottom drops out. Yeah.
Right. And it's not giving too much away to say that the secret is about sexual abuse of family members.
Yeah.
And also, I think the difficulty in performing this play, Lenore, let me ask you, as an actress in this play who plays the mother, is the need on the part of family members to keep it light, to get past this secret, to not talk about it. All the while, it is roiling underneath the surface and very often, you know, sort of on the surface. To talk about the tension and sort of how you play that fine line between comedy and dark tragedy.
Well, my character, Ilsa, has been in denial for over 30 years. So anything that you see in the production is, you know, she is trying to keep it light. She planned the party. She's very good at it. And she just wants everyone to have a good time and to stay at the party. So that's her job and her goal is to keep everything nice.
The level of denial is just epic. And I think that's one of the things that that makes it often quite energetic and funny in that kind of outrageous way of you can't believe how these people are scrambling to maintain that level of denial. It's extraordinary.
Well, and something Lenore just said, I think, is maybe the tie that binds. Really, everybody wants to stay at the party, but what we reflect and how we express ourselves and what it is we hope to reveal at this party and how we express ourselves are two very, very different things. But neither of us wants to, neither the party lovers and the fun lovers, nor those who want to expose the truth, want to leave. We have a story to tell. Right.
We're staying here until this punch-up's through.
Yes.
Would you? And there's comedy. So, I mean, it is a comedy. It has comic moments. It has very comic elements are very important to this play. Fair enough?
I think absolutely. And that's one of the things that gives it so much energy. It's been lovely, of course, to get these stellar reviews for the show. But I think one of the things that is easily missed is that it's a very energetic evening at the theater. you know, as you're sitting around so close to this huge table full of people scrambling as, you know, fast as they can to make sure that that damn boat doesn't rock.
Yes. Yeah, great reviews in the NNO and the Indy. So yeah. Congratulations on those. Lenore, would you give us a little sample of your character and a part in the play?
Yes, I would.
You want me to set it up for you?
Yes, that'd be great.
All right. So everybody takes a turn trying to maintain the status quo at some point. And about halfway through, the mother takes her turn and she stands up and has a little address to the gathered company. And she goes through each of her family members in turn, starting with her husband, moving on to her youngest son, then to her daughter. And then finally she saves the eldest son who's made the accusation, saves him for last.
And then there is you, Christian. You've always been quite special, a creative child. The stories Christian used to tell when he was small. I always thought you'd make a really good author one day. When Christian was small, for all of you who don't know, he had a loyal companion called Snoot, who didn't exist. But Snoot and Christian were inseparable. If Snoot didn't like someone, neither did Christian. And if you were the one at the receiving end, there was nothing you could do about it. But dear Christian, it is so important to distinguish fact from fiction. I think you've always had trouble doing so. Of course you can be angry with your father. I am sometimes too. But it has to be sorted out in private. Telling stories like those you've told this evening, however exciting they may be, and they were exciting, may be a bit too much. Christian, I think that Snoot has been with you today. And quite frankly, I think you both rather upset your father. So I think it would be appropriate if you stood up, leaving Snoot in his seat, and gave your father an apology. It won't detract from you to say sorry. It would be quite all right. Christian, you may stand up now. Christian?
Lenore Field in her role as Ilsa in the play Celebration at Chatterbox Theater this Thursday through Saturday at Chatterbox Theater in Durham. A remarkable performance, and it brings to mind a piece I just read about Diana Nyad, who talked about being sexually abused and accused her swimming coach of abusing her, and he said, "Well, you know, she always wanted to be a writer, and she said she loved to write about things that never really happened." I mean, the same thing, right?
Absolutely.
It's like, how do we create the counter-narrative that uses imagination, the very thing you're doing, to mm-hmm. deny the truth, and saying, well, you know, we have this. Yeah, the boy has a brilliant imagination. Yeah.
Yes, it's amazing. And other characters in the play before this have said similar things, like, oh, don't believe him. I should know that this is untrue. I'm his sister. And this is my last, this is the last thing that I can do to say, okay, it didn't work before. It's my turn. He will listen to me.
The amazing thing about this, too, I think the meta-narrative in this whole thing is about how we are storytellers, and we do create our own lives, and we sort of contextualize ourselves. And that for Christian, you know, he was living the lie for a while. I mean, he was able to sort of exist in that world, and now another narrative will come out, and only parts of that as well. It seems to me that as a director, this might be the difficult thing, is that I have a story that the audience needs to see and it needs to hold together. But all of these things are coming undone and then recontextualized and rebound throughout the course of the evening.
Right, right. Well, I suppose Christian becomes, you know, the still center of the thing. And one of the things that we're watching is how many times is he going to get knocked down and how many times is he going to get back up again? There's a lovely moment, and it's purely physical, about two-thirds of the way through the show, where you're looking at this guy and you think he's just about to melt into the floor. And somehow, you know, he shuffles back to this table again, back into the throng of the party, and he's going to try again to tell what he feels is the truth. And I think, again, it's, you know, I'm trying to figure out how to articulate why I love this show so much, because I got two small kids, and I don't like dark stories where stuff happens to kids. You know, I can't watch that stuff. I can't have that imagery anymore. But this play is not like that, because it's a different story. Jay, the artistic director of the company, said, "Yeah, it's about this guy trying to slay the dragon. That's what the play's about." And so that's what we're watching. Right. We're watching this guy trying to, you know, tell the truth and trying to take out this dragon. And everybody else in the family is like, "Oh, we're used to living with the dragon."
What dragon?
Exactly. Yeah. And so that becomes, I'm not going to say it's like someone to cheer for, but, you know, you've really got this level of investment. Right. And that's kind of exciting.
Tell us about the film that this is based on.
It was made in the mid-1990s, and it was the very first Dogma 95 film. This was something that Thomas Vinterberg, the director, and notorious Lars von Trier came up with. And it was a way of trying to strip things down to some essentials of filmmaking. And it put a lot more focus on the actors and on the creation of, you know, a particular world out of the ensemble work rather than, you know, green screen and sound effects and all of that kind of stuff.
And it's a throwback to the old days of cinema verite as well. A lot of sort of unproduced natural sound, that kind of thing.
I mean, I think for, you know, now we recognize it as yet another style. But at the time, it seemed like it was this, you know, knife cutting through all the stuff you don't need in order to tell a good story. So the film is still extraordinary. And one of the things that we've been faced with putting it into a single space of a theater is, okay, well, where they're doing cuts and things like that, how can we find simultaneous stuff in order to kind of keep the energy of the thing moving? So that's been the lovely thing about working in the tiny little room, is having all that simultaneous action.
There is simultaneous action, and you're having to track it, and audiences are doing it, and the reviewers also said, you know, that it's working quite well. Do you have to come up with a strategy? Do you have to say, well, how am I going to get your eye over here when I've got three bedroom scenes going on there?
Part of it is making sure you can convince the actors, yeah, don't worry, you guys can do this. but the thing is, everybody knows, you know, at the dining room table, nobody waits their turn, right? So everybody's overlapping and talking at once, and things kind of shoot back and forth. And one of the things about working with a, you know, great skilled ensemble of actors is that they're really good at listening. And they're really good at figuring out, okay, the event's over here right now, so I'm going to tone down this bit. Mm-hmm. And the event's coming my way, so I'm going to grab it with both hands now. And so I think that actually does flow well once you get the trick of it's not about waiting for my turn.
Right. But also, in this case, the simultaneity is part of the message. It's part of the content. So, Lenore, what do you do? It's not just, a matter of waiting in the shadow for your spotlight to come up as you do stage whisper and then break into full voice. You are the center when you're one-third of – do you have to tell yourself, well, look do you feel like you are the center of attention even though you may not be? How do you approach the scene if you do it like this?
Yes, well, I just stay in the moment of the party. And as Kevin said, you know, you can feel it when you need to modulate your voice, but you keep the action and the story, character and your job in the story. You just keep the energy up and the volume down. And it just seems to flow beautifully. And one other thing I wanted to mention, there are scenes happening simultaneously, but there's also a scene that is off stage in another room, which I find fascinating and people are following it, and that is the focus. So you have people at the table and another scene in another room. It's just wonderful the way Kevin has created that for us.
Great stuff. You're in good company, too. Shakespeare had that problem when there was this play within a play in Hamlet. You know, are we watching Hamlet? Are we watching the king? Are we watching the play? And so you're in good hands here, and you're following in a great tradition. Terrific play, and great to have both of you on the show today. Lenore Field is an actress who plays Ilsa in the production of Celebration. The director is Kevin Ewart, and they're both my guests today. Thank you so much for being on the program.
Thank you.
Thank you, Frank.
You can see Celebration by Little Green Pig Theatrical Concern at Shadow Box Theater in Durham this Thursday through Saturday at 8 o'clock. Just ahead, we'll see how five veterans found peace while learning to fly fish. Stay tuned.